can tell you, it's pretty hard not to be touched. By Yahweh's word and by the beautiful songs and praise to Him. It is difficult sometimes. But Yahweh gives us strength and helps us. We are called to do certain things, and we are given His word as a manual to our lives. And you hear of what people are doing, and you see what people are doing today, and you think, whoa, what's it going to be like for them if they don't turn and change and do what Yahweh tells them to do? I talked to a man some time ago. His faith was Scientology, and of course, he had a Bible, and he said, of course, he read it, and we talked, and so I found out that he didn't believe all the stories that he read, all the accounts that were given in Scripture, and I was really taken aback. Here is a man who's proclaiming that he's religious, and yet doesn't believe in the Word that gives life. The inspired word of Yahweh. There are Bible scholars today who are saying that because they can't prove it themselves, that they're basing it upon their thinking that, you know, some things just aren't true in Scripture. And they're lacking the faith of what Yahweh's word says. You know, this is brought over for us to believe it and to live in it. The Scientologist, after I had talked to him, I thought, how odd. Here's a man that's religious, claims to be religious, doesn't believe all of what the Bible says. And I had to think about Yahweh's word, and there are some scriptures that came to mind. Luke 21 and verse 33, we can go there. Yahweh gave Joshua to us as so that we might be forgiven of our sins. His blood was shed. And he tells us, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. They will not pass away. Yahshua is the Logos of the New Testament. He is the Dabar of the Old. And his word is throughout the scriptures that are before me today. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 14 says, actually, skipping down to 16, says, all scripture is inspired by Elohim and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. Did even the Apostle Paul say that the law is good and true? And of course, we have Yahshua that magnified the law, brought up to a higher level that we might understand it better. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Be humbled you and let you be hungry. And this is speaking of those that were led out from Egypt, the Israelites. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Do we take this to heart? Do we really understand it? Because reiterated, Yahshua quoted this. Of course, he came in service to Yahweh. We are to be in service to Yahweh. But Jeremiah 8:5 talks about the lying pen of the scribes. There are some things that have happened to Scripture. Things were covered up. Yahweh's name was covered up. Yahshua's name was covered up. Some things that happened that shouldn't have ever happened. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 25. Aren't we told in Proverbs 25 and verse 2, aren't we told it is the glory of Yahweh to conceal a matter? It is the glory of kings to search out a matter. And we are called to be priests in the kingdom, in the coming kingdom. And we will rule with Yahweh if we overcome to the end. So in a sense, we'll be kings with him. But he is king of all kings. And he is ruler of all rulers. So some things are concealed. It's for us to find out what those concealed things are. And what happens when we do that? In verse 4, skipping down of Proverbs chapter 25, it says, take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. It means we can teach the truth. It means we can take Yahweh's word and work with it in our own lives. It means we can understand better. We know that there's only one name under heaven which we can be saved. We receive a spirit when we obey Yahweh's word. When we do those things that are pleasing to him. There's a book called Misquoting. He's already misquoting Jesus, he says, on the front. It's the story behind who changed the Bible and why. Of course, we read about the lying pen of the scribes. This professor, Bart D. Ehrman, mentions some things in here, and it's quite interesting. This was a number one bestseller in religious circles. But, you know, there's some things that we can glean from even what he says. He says on page 189, other early Christians, of course, had other opinions, as they did on nearly every issue of that day. Matthew, for example, seems to presuppose that even though it is the death and resurrection of, I'm going to insert correctly, Yahshua, that brings salvation, his followers will naturally keep the law, just as Yahshua himself did. And he points to Matthew 5, 17, 20, and correctly so. Eventually, though, it came, he says, going on, eventually, though, it became widely held that Christians were distinct from Jews. I should replace believers with that word Christians, because that word Christians wasn't and isn't something that we recognize as correct in Scripture. So there are some things that we have to, in a sense, remove the dross and get the pureness out so that we can work with it and that it might help us and help others. But eventually, though, it says, going on here, it became widely held that believers were distinct from Judah, the one tribe, course, there are 12 tribes, but Jews were readily seen back at that time. It says, and that following the Jewish law, of course, it's Yahweh's law, could have no bearing on salvation, that joining the Jewish people would mean identifying with the people who had rejected their own Messiah, who had, in effect, rejected their mighty one. As we move into the second century, we find that Christianity, or the believers in Judaism, had become two distinct religions, which nonetheless had a lot to say with each other. Now, we know there are some things that have happened. And he says on page 190, by the second century, most Christians were former pagans. And I think we find that there was the synchronicity, the combining of paganism and Yahweh's word, which shouldn't have been. We see Easter today, we see Christmas and these type of things that were brought over from paganism. And Yahweh clearly says, you do not worship me the way these pagans worship their deities. You don't do it. Have we lost our way? There's a few that Yahweh's calling out. There's a sacred name movement that's restoring the names. There is laws that are to be observed. We are to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. There's some other interesting things that Dr. Ehrman brings out. Even some of the translations, he says the King James Version, taken from the Erasmus edition, the Greek, based on a single 12th century manuscript that is one of the worst of the manuscripts that we now have available to us. It goes on to say the King James was not given by Elohim, but was translated by a group of scholars in the early 17th century who based their rendition on faulty Greek text. I think we can attest to that too, that the Greek is faulty in many ways. But there are texts that we can see now, and we have a better understanding of Yahweh's word today because we can get through the dross and see the silver and the gold and the gems of Yahweh's word.
Hallelujah.
1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, basically it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And that's what we need to do. Now, how important is the Bible to you? Do you believe its message of repentance and changing from disobedience to obedience? That's what is being taught. From the road to death to the road of life, do you believe that you must get in line with Yahweh's will? It's a question we need to ask. Like keeping the Sabbath and not profaning it, but rather keeping it holy as we are to be holy, as Scripture says, as Yahweh's Word says. Yahshua is going to return. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, I get choked up sometimes, but that's good. It lets me know that, you know, Yahweh has given me a heart. And he tells us that we are to rend our heart to him. We are to focus and look up to our Father. If indeed we are children, he will help us. He will, in fact, reprimand us. He will lead us. We must follow his instructions. We must follow his lead. We must live in the Word. 2 Peter chapter 3. And starting in verse 9. Yahweh is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, with the elements, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and righteousness? And how do we learn how to be righteous? Isn't it Yahweh's word? Are we not to live by every letter, every word, all the instruction that we're given? What will it be like for you? Will you have a sinking feeling when the heavens are removed with a loud noise, a roaring sound? Or will you be ready and think to yourself, this is what was prophesied to happen? Wow. May Yahweh have mercy. And look forward with great expectation to the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 13. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, are we looking for these things? Be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Spotless and blameless. Is this what you are seeking? Is this what we are seeking? Are you living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh? Are you studying the word to know what that is? Or will you be deceived when the anti-Messiah comes? We are told by Yahweh's word that he is coming. And that there is a anti-Messiah spirit out there, even, already. There's a program on just recently, I don't know if you saw this, but this Spanish individual is proclaiming himself as Jesus. And he's sitting there talking, he's being interviewed, and he's smoking a cigarette and drinking some rum or something. And he's basically saying, you know, you can live the way you want. Hey, I'm here to tell you. And you'd be amazed at the amount of people that are flooding in to listen to him. Why? You know, his word says there will be teachers that will tickle the ears of those that want to have their ears tickled, that want to hear smooth and good things for themselves. And he's saying, go ahead and do what you want, you know. But come here because I'm Jesus, you know. Sad. Ephesians chapter 4. Couldn't believe it. He had women hanging all over him, and they're just living the world, living in the world, not living in the Word. If they read the Word, they'd know that those things were not right to do. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. So this I say and affirm to you together with the Master, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They want to do their thing. They want to have it their way. They don't want to do what Yahweh's word says. They certainly don't study it, and they're not sincere about it. They do, because they're living their lives contrary to it. Verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Messiah in this way. Do you know that guy is wearing a Rolex? A diamond-studded Rolex. Couldn't believe it. Verse 20. But you did not learn Messiah in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Yahshua, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of Elohim, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth one another to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. You know, this this Mexican Jesus follower had, he was pretty well to do. He had like $6 million, he exclaimed, and he gave at least $2 million to this false Messiah, this anti-Messiah, one of the many false Messiahs we'll no doubt see. You know, are we in need? Certainly we have needs here. These, I don't understand why we don't have those kind of funds coming in. We don't see that kind of money. Of course, we don't have a lot of people. Why? Because a lot of people just want to do their own thing. A lot of people want to get their ears tickled. And they don't want to settle down and study always work and do what it says. Yet we must. Malachi 3. Yahweh does say some things about money. Thank you. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament we have here. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob Yahweh? Yeah, you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. These aren't my words. You know, there's, in verse 10 here, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts. If you will not, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessings until it overflows. The food being talked about here is, for us today, spiritual food. And we're not talking about chopped liver here. We have a storehouse of unadulterated, clean, spiritual food for the nations in mini studies and pamphlets, booklets. We have CDs going out now, DVDs. And it's all as a witness before the day of Yahweh. We're fed now, and we'll be actually fed later. Going over to Ezekiel 34. We need to do what we can to help others, even though we're few in number. Yahweh's Spirit moving us can produce much for His way of life. And it's His way of life that we want to be obedient to. It's in His Word that we want to find ourselves. We want to find ourselves living it. Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 11. Yahweh will feed us. Well, let me just go ahead and read through this. For thus Yahweh says, Yahweh Elohim, behold, I myself will search out my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabitants' places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground and feed in the rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares Yahweh Elohim. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. In a sense, we have that happening today. Broken hearts, sick hearts are being healed through Yahweh's works, through His Spirit. But notice here, verse 16, halfway down, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Those that go about feeding themselves, not caring about anyone else but themselves, desiring to hear those things that are pleasing to them, rather than reading through Yahweh's word and seeing what Yahweh wants of them. It says here that He's going to feed them with judgment. It's a serious message that the Bible has, and not everyone wants to hear it. But we're told to cry aloud and not hold back. If judgment is coming as well as promised blessing, shouldn't we prepare now by living the Word rather than just reading it? Because there are many that read it, but they don't live it. Have you not been baptized into the... Maybe I should reword that. If you haven't been baptized into the saving name of Yahshua the Messiah, and yet you know you should, why are you waiting? Have you thought about coming to the feasts of Yahweh, but haven't saved second tithe to do so as the Word tells us to do? Have we gotten caught up in the world, not realizing that the world and all the works done in it will be destroyed with intense heat, melting the very elements within it away? We need to ask ourselves, are we living in the Word, or are we living without it? This message goes out for those that have an ear to hear. Ezekiel 18, backing up a little bit in this book, starting in verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares Yahweh Elohim. Behold. Well, it doesn't actually say behold. I'm getting caught up in the intensity of what's being said here. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions, all of them, which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares Yahweh Elohim. Therefore repent and live. That's the message. I went to the library the other day and was looking for a particular subject to review and consider. And I found a CD, a book on CD. So I went ahead and grabbed it, even though it was a woman teacher on it. Because I was very interested in this particular subject, so I wanted to see what her viewpoint was and where she gets it and such. But there was some, it's like good and bad mixed with a number of the teachings out in the world. There's some good, And there was some good there. And I sensed that she was sincere. But she went to great lengths to destroy the law, to do away with it, and to claim the promises, try to claim the promises, but yet without doing the works, without living Yahweh's way, according to His word. And He tells us. In fact, in Luke 21, revisiting back, you can read that later, but you don't have to go there. But Yahshua's words, it says, will not pass away, though heaven and earth will. And those of us who have been immersed and received of Yahweh's Spirit through the laying on of hands of the eldership and who are now led by the Spirit, our lives are hidden in Him. And this is what this teacher was trying to teach. She was trying to say that, you know, we're led by the Spirit. Well, yes, we do get led by the Spirit. But Yahweh's word is from His Spirit and is given to us. Those of us who have been immersed and received the Yahweh Spirit through the laying on of hands of eldership and who are now being led by the Spirit, our lives are hidden in Him. And we are free from the ultimate death penalty that the breaking of Yahweh's law has brought. We do not go on living in sin as the Apostle Paul taught and emphasized in the book of Romans. We walk anew. We study and use the Bible as a guide from Genesis to Revelation. We live in the Word, and by doing so, renew our minds and hearts to be committed fully to the way of life that Yahweh is bringing in the coming kingdom that He has planned. Let's go over to Micah chapter 4. Micah 4, and starting in verse 1. Doing prophecy here. And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established as the chief of the mountains. And it will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, that He may teach us about His ways, that we may walk in His paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. How important should it be for us right now to be living in it? To be doing it. 2 Peter 1:20 tells prophecy is not up for private interpretation. This is a very clear prophetic utterance and inspired, Yahweh inspired Micah to say this. It's Yahweh saying it. But the law will go forth from Zion. People will learn of it. People will do it. Or they will be suffering the consequences. John 10:35 says that Scripture cannot be broken. Yes, we're to be led by the Spirit. We're also led by the Spirit to read and study His Word, to understand it, to live it. Let us work together, living in His Word and helping others to do the same, so that we can stand before Yahshua on the day He returns, not with fear, but with a steadfastness and boldness of heart, knowing we did everything to live according to His will. May Yahweh bless. Hallelujah.